The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The inquiry into the Oma bombing recommenced this week with opening statements from key participants. Now, this followed the personal stories that were shared in the first part of the inquiry earlier this year. Alan Kane, King's Counsel, who is representing some victims' families, said they remained greatly disappointed at the lack of commitment from the Irish authorities.
Our clients remain greatly disappointed at the lack of any commitment on the part of the authorities in the Republic of Ireland to meaningfully assist this inquiry. And they regard the Memorandum of Understanding, agreed with the Minister of Justice of the Government of the Republic of Ireland, as wholly unsatisfactory in that regard. Our clients wish to use this inquiry to heap shame on the Government of the Republic of Ireland for their failures. They consider that there is a moral, human and legal imperative on the Government of the Republic of Ireland to establish a parallel inquiry into the deaths of people who are their own citizens, visitors to their country, and those who would have been entitled to Irish citizenship under their laws.
So that was Alan Kane, King's Counsel. I'm joined by freelance journalist Amanda Ferguson. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
I suppose that is the headline from yesterday, the criticism from Alan Kane of the Irish government. The Irish government has said, look,
yes,
we're cooperating.
This is the second chapter in the independent statutory inquiry, which was ordered by the UK government's Secretary of State to essentially investigate whether the Oma bomb in 1998 could have reasonably been prevented by UK state authorities. But the focus yesterday was definitely on the Irish government officials and so on, and the commitment to transparency with regard to the inquiry. Now, we know that lawyers for the family, people who were speaking as core participants in the process, made clear that what was unfolding wasn't cutting the mustard with a lot of families. A lawyer said there was a lack of commitment to meaningfully assist, that the memorandum of understanding was wholly unsatisfactory. However, Micheál Martin said that the comments weren't fair, that a parallel inquiry on the other side of the border would mean there would be duplication and delay, and that the Irish government was committed to be fully open in the process.
Now, they have reached an agreement, but what did Lord Turnbull, who's chairing the inquiry, what did he have to say in response to those criticisms?
Yes, well, we know that there's a lot to unfold over the coming days, and we're due to have an update later in July about what's going to actually happen next. However, it's clear that the commitment from the inquiry chair is there. He knows that the pace of disclosure hasn't been as fast perhaps as it could have been. So I'd imagine that this is going to keep raising its head. The issue around the pace of disclosure not being fast enough for some people has come up over the last 2 days. There was another reference made to the former RUC Chief Constable Ronnie Flanagan being apologetic for having a public row with Nuala O'Loan at the time of the inquiry. So there's a lot of emotions around this, Pat. Everyone knows that the Oma bomb came just after the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, whenever we thought we really were on the path to peace. And there has never been anyone convicted of carrying out the murders by a criminal court, and that this inquiry is meant to get to the truth. However, the fact that there are so many families who are concerned about the Irish government's role should be a concern to everybody, and we have people saying that it's wholly unsatisfactory, whereas the Irish government is saying that it's definitely committed, and that Micheál Martin said both I and the Taoiseach are very clear of the need for our government and our Department and of Justice and others to be fully open in terms of materials to be sent. There was criticism also of the police north of the border, the PSNI. The update that we'll get in July should sort of set the trajectory for where we go next from here.
And what the judge said yesterday, he said he had the luxury of an open mind. Was going to look at all of the claims and counterclaims. But he also said there were understandable concerns as articulated by Alan Kane. he had no doubt the more strongly worded and sceptical remarks were formulated through the lens of long previous experience. So he understands how frustrated they are.
Yes, definitely. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process. We can see that some of the material that should be made available to the inquiry isn't available yet, that some information is missing and so on. And I guess whenever it comes with the passage of time, you know, this is nearly 30 years ago. However, it's as raw for the families and the intergenerational trauma that flows from that means it's a very emotive subject. And as we know, whenever it comes to the North, there is never sort of consensus that lawyers speak for certain families, not all, that there's a real sort of sense that while people know who's responsible for the Omagh bomb in terms of, you know, who carried out the attack, just the sense that perhaps they flee to the other side of the border, that the information from official bodies should be made available to the inquiry and may not necessarily be made available, I guess is of concern, because while what's happening with the inquiry isn't going to bring anyone back, it's that pursuit of truth that many victims of the conflict, of the Troubles, have. You know, there'll be many twists and turns and criticisms before this concludes. But really, we have to remember that at the centre of this are all those families, and really just what they want is the truth and all the information about what happened to their loved ones.
Now, among the dead, there were people of all backgrounds and religious persuasion. I mean, there was a Mormon among the dead. There were obviously Catholics and Protestants among the dead. The sharpest criticisms for the Irish government, do they come from people of, shall we say, broadly, a loyalist persuasion?
Well, we know that perhaps the strongest political criticism perhaps comes from unionists whenever it comes to criticism of the Irish government, which isn't sort of shocking in a lot of ways. But I don't think that this is necessarily what this is about. I think whenever it comes to what families want, there's a sense that they should be listened to, and the fact that they want a parallel inquiry and that they don't see a reason why it shouldn't be happening. However, the Irish government and officials have made clear on repeated occasions that they are committed to what is happening, that they'll be as transparent as possible, and they're not there to try and stymie the inquiry in any way, that they want to fully participate. So I guess it just depends on how you view things. There's different views, and whenever it comes to any topic, whenever we're talking about the North, but I just think whenever it's something as sensitive as this, you know, that you're hearing criticism, you know, about the Irish government's role, about the idea that there was more of a desire to protect state agents, you know, than actually protect and get the truth for families whenever it comes.
So the bottom line here is, you know, the narrative is that this car bomb, which is planted by the real IRA in Omagh, was created in the Republic, and the suggestion is it was tracked by the Garda Síochána in the Republic, tracked by what is now the PSNI, but the RUC in Northern Ireland, and it could, by either agency, have been prevented at some point along the way. That is the nub of this inquiry.
Yeah, but sometimes whenever you're speaking to people that you know about the Omagh bomb inquiry taking place, you know, there can be a bit of confusion where they're saying, but like, you know, it's the bombers who are responsible for what is this actually about? What this is about is trying to establish if what happened could have been prevented by the UK state authorities, and I guess the role of the Irish government, because of the porous border of the nature and because of the movement across the border and the different jurisdictions we have, brings that into sharp focus. So while the Irish government has been the focus of attention over the last day of the inquiry, it won't be the entirety of the criticism or the pressure that's being applied, because the families really want to know, you know, exactly what happened. And whether it's regard to, you know, UK state agents, whether it's with regard to what happened whenever those responsible for the bomb were moving between both jurisdictions. So it's a sad, you know, it's a sad time for the families. I guess it's, you know, a hopeful time for the families as well. But when you hear them talking over the last couple of days, you know, some people don't want to talk in the media, others have become spokespeople for the group and so on. And they really just just are exhausted at the back or the back and forward. So perhaps while the Irish government doesn't necessarily think that it has questions to answer with regards to its commitment around the OMA bomb inquiry, I guess it has to take seriously that the people at the centre of this and the most important people, that some of them aren't happy with what's happening so far. So there'll be time for officials and the government to reflect on that.
Yeah, and of course, one of the problems will be 27 years on this coming August, how many of the people who are relevant to all of this are, in fact, still with us. Amanda Ferguson, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.